Welcome to the Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark. I trust you're having a good week walking with the Lord. Here on the Voice of Hope, I bring an encouraging word every week to help us understand how to live our Christian life. And so I bring greetings to all of those who are listening by radio on Sasa Radio in Western Kenya. I bring greetings to you in the name of Jesus. I come on Sasa Radio every Sunday at 7:30. I want you to invite your friends to come to listen to the Voice of Hope to receive an encouraging word from God also. If you miss listening to Sasa Radio, you can always listen to my radio messages by going to my website, voiceofhopetoday.org, www.voiceofhopetoday.org, and I have all my messages posted on my website. And for those of you who are listening on the internet, people in Uganda and Rwanda and Burundi and other countries of the world, I just want to bring greetings in the name of Jesus and let you know that God loves you, God is for you, and God wants you to walk in His victory. But God wants us to walk as children of God. And so today I'm going to talk about what it means to be a child of God. You know, Jesus, when He came to earth, He came as the Son of God. Now, Jesus is God. The Bible says Jesus and God are one. They are no different. But the Bible says Jesus gave up His rights as God and became a man and became a son of God. And He did that so He could be an example to us how to be a son of God or a child of God and how we can have relationship with God too. So if you want to know what it means to be a child of God or a son of God, you have to look at the example of Jesus Christ to understand what it means to be a child of God and how to live as a child of God. So we're going to look at some scriptures today to understand how we become a child of God and how we live as a child of God. And so I'd encourage you today, if you have a piece of paper and pen, you can write these scriptures down and look at them later, because we don't have time during this program to look up the scripture verses. And so we want to begin by looking in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Matthew 3, 16 and 17. And this is where Jesus is baptized in the River Jordan. Now, Jesus was not baptized because of sin. For us, we are baptized in water because of sin. For us, baptism means we die to our old sinful man and we come up a new person in Christ Jesus. But Jesus never committed sin, so He wasn't baptized for sin. Jesus was baptized as an act of dedicating His life to God, for God to use Him for His purposes. So for Jesus, His baptism was a dedication to God, giving His life to God, for God to use Him. And so we want to read Matthew 3, verse 16. And it says there, when He, referring to Jesus, when Jesus had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon Him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so we see here that Jesus, after He came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, and God made a declaration from heaven, "This is My Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, Jesus had not done any ministry at all. He hadn't done anything at all. He had just grown up as a child under His mother and father, Joseph and Mary. But here God recognized Jesus. "You are My Son in whom I am well pleased." See, sonship or being a child of God is not something we earn. It's something we are born into. So there's nothing you can do to become a child of God. You become a child of God through the new birth. See, in John 3, 6 through 8, John 3, 6 through 8, Jesus said, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be marveled that I said to you, must be born again." So we must be born of the Spirit of God to enter the kingdom of God. Or must be born of the Spirit of God to become a child of God. And so just as Jesus was baptized and came from God, said, "This is My Son in whom I am well pleased." See, you don't become a child of God by doing something good. You don't become a child of God by going to church. See, when you have a child that's born to you, your child did nothing to earn his title as your child. He was born your child, and even though he could not do anything for himself, he was just a little baby, could not do anything, he was your child because he was born your child. You see, when we are born again of the Spirit of God, just like the Spirit of God came upon Jesus and God declared, "You are my Son in whom I am well pleased." When you are born again, the same Spirit that came upon Jesus comes and lives in you. The same Spirit of God that empowered Jesus empowers you. The Spirit of God is God. There is no difference between God and the Spirit. The Spirit is not something separate. He is God. So when you are born again, the Spirit of God, God comes and lives in you by his Holy Spirit. And the same Spirit that was in Jesus is in you. Not because you've done something good, not because you're holy, not because you're somebody important, because you have been born again. You are a child of God. Even though you maybe not be able to do anything for God, you are still a child of God. And God speaks from heaven over you, just like he spoke over Jesus. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, that means you confess your sins, say, "Jesus, I confess my sins before you. Forgive me of my sins. I repent of my sins. Turn away from my sins. I give my life to you." When you do that, you are born again. You become a child of God. The Spirit of God comes and lives in you. And God speaks from heaven just like he did over Jesus. "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." You are God's child in whom you're. God loves you not because of what you do. God loves you because you're his child. And so we become children of God. It's a supernatural thing. Just like a child is born into the world, we are born as children of God. Nothing we did to do it, earn it. We are born. So today, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are born again. The Spirit of God lives in you. You are now a child of Almighty God. So we want to continue to understand, what does it mean to be a child of God from the example of Jesus Christ? So we go into John chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. John chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. Jesus said, "I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." So Jesus, as the Son of God, said, "I don't do anything on my own. I only do what the Father instructs me and tells me to do." See, a good child does what the Father tells him to do. He doesn't become a child by doing what the Father tells him to do. No, he does what the Father tells him to do because he's a child. See, Jesus, as the Son of God, he came to earth for one reason, and that was to do the will of the Father. He said, "I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. I only do what the Father tells me to do. I don't do anything of myself because I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. I only represent the Father." Jesus had one purpose in life, and that was to glorify Father God, to lift up Father God, to do the will of the Father. See, we're born again, supernaturally become a child of God. Now we have a choice, like Jesus, to do the will of the Father. As a child, you need to say, "God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to respond to things? How do you want me to act?" See, we begin to seek God's direction as our Father. See, our Father, God, is all wise and knows everything. We, as his children, we do not know a lot of things. But our Father, God, knows these things, and he wants to reveal these things to us. He wants to speak to us. He speaks to us through his word. See, the Bible is the revelation of God. So the more you know the Bible, the more you understand how God thinks and what God does. And the more you become a son of God. So being a child of God starts with a new birth. You're born as a child of God. But then you start spending time with God. You spend time in His Word. You spend time in prayer. Now, prayer is not just talking to God. It's listening to God. It's spending time listening to Him. God, what do you want to do in this situation? How do you want me to respond? You see, I have a relationship with God, my Father, all day long, like Jesus did, because I spend time asking Him what He wants me to do. And as I spend time in His Word, I understand more and more what He wants me to do and how He wants me to live my life as His son. And as His son, I come under all His blessings and come into all His inheritance and everything He has for me to do. So Jesus, you know, He had 100% success rate in everything He did. Everybody He prayed for, they were healed. Every demon ran before Him. Why? Because He did everything to glorify the Father, not to glorify Himself, not to make Himself important, but to glorify the Father. And He only did what the Father told Him to do. See, the more you walk in obedience to the Father, the more power you have, the more success you have, the more love and peace and joy you have, because you're walking under the authority of the Father. And so in John 14:12-14, Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes me, the works I do, he will do also. And even greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you have anything in my name, I will do it." So Jesus said, if you believe in me, you will do the same things I did. But to do that, you have to walk in relationship with God. Just like Jesus walked in relationship with the Father by the Holy Spirit, we need to walk in relationship with God. When you have a problem, you say, God, what do you want me to do? If you see someone in need, Father, what do you want me to do? And God will give you instructions how to live life. The Bible gives instructions how to live life. If you look at the life of Jesus, you learn how to live life as a child of God. You walk in relationship with God. You develop a relationship with God by spending time with Him in prayer and spending time within His Word. And He said, if you believe in me, the works I do, you will do also, and even greater works you will do, because I go to my Father. Why did He have to go to the Father? Because when He went to the Father, He sent the Holy Spirit to live in us, to give us wisdom and guidance, direction, to give us joy and peace, to help us understand God's ways and to walk in His power. And the Holy Spirit helps us live a Christian life or a life as a child of God. He is your helper. He's the one that walks alongside you that helps you know how to walk and live as a child of God. In John 15:7-8, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so are you my disciple. So Jesus continues here with the same promise. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You ask anything in my name. Here he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you want and it will be given to you. Why can God promise that? Because you see, if you're in relationship with the Father, if your desire is to glorify the Father and you seek the Father's will, then he's going to answer every prayer, because you ask according to His will. You don't ask according to your will. You see, every time Jesus encountered a sick person, He asked the Father God what to do, and He did what the Father told Him to do. And so He always had a success rate. I've shared this with before. There was one time Jesus went to the Pool of Siloam, and the Pool of Siloam was a pool that had five big porches around it with a multitude of sick people. And it, from time to time, an angel would come down, stir the water, and the first person who got in the water was healed. It was a miraculous thing God did in Israel. And so Jesus one day walks into the Pool of Siloam. Now, other places that Jesus healed, all those were sick. Jesus had power to heal everybody. He had the power of God to heal anybody. He had the power of God to deliver every demonic person, because he walked in God's power of the Holy Spirit. But he walks in this place with five porches with a multitude of sick people. He walks up to one sick person, a man who had been paralyzed from birth, And this man, he said, do you want to be healed? And the man says, I cannot get to the water in time, and someone always gets into me first. And Jesus says, I can heal you. And so Jesus tells the man to get up, take up his mat, and walk. And God instantly heals that man. And then Jesus walks out. Jesus had the power to heal everybody, but he only healed one man. Why? Because he only did what the Father told him to do. He only spoke what the Father told him to speak. And God, for some reason, told Jesus to go and just heal this one man, because that was the will of the Father. And see, we don't do things according to our will and our understanding. When we are children of God, we submit to the Father. We say, God, what do you want me to do in this situation? How do you want me to pray in this situation? And so he said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you. Abide means that you're connected to Jesus. You're in Jesus. Your life is in Jesus Christ. Jesus compared it to a vine and a branch. You know, a vine must be connected to the branch in order to have life. A tree needs to be, a branch of a tree needs to be connected to the tree in order to have life and produce fruit. Because the life of the limb or the life of the vine comes, or the branch comes from the tree or the vine. And so our life comes from Jesus. Our power comes from Jesus. Our hope comes from Jesus. Our life comes from Jesus. And as we live and connected to Jesus, we have life, and everything we ask for, he's going to do it for us because we're connected to Jesus. We're not getting it from the world. We're not getting it from somebody else. We're not getting it because of our position. We're getting it out of a relationship with Jesus Christ through God the Father. And so God wants to us to walk as children today in all that he has. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you want and it will be done for you, that my what? That my Father may be glorified, and you will bear much fruit. See, when we're in Jesus, we bear a lot of fruit. And when we're in Jesus, we're very productive in life. See, Jesus just doesn't walk with pastors and preachers and evangelists. You are each a child of God. Just like Jesus was a child of God, you are a child of God. So I want to continue looking at what it means to be a child of God and how we act as a child of God. And so I want to look at 1 John 3:2 and 3. Again, I just encourage you to write these scriptures down. You can go back to them later. And you can and review them, because we need to understand what it means to live as a child of God. 1 John 3:2 and 3 says, Beloved, now are we children of God, and it's not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we shall be like him when we see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope purifies himself just as he is pure. So he says, now we are children of God. You're a child of God, but we don't know what we're going to be like, but it's going to be revealed to us. In other words, there's a transformation that's happening. I'm a child of God, but as I grew up, I change. You know, when I was a little baby, I would look one way, but now I'm an adult. I've changed over time. And you see, as a child of God, we change over time. We become more and more like Jesus Christ. We become more and more like God the Father, because as we grow and mature, a little baby knows how to do very little, but as he grows and matures, he learns responsibility. He learns to do what the Father tells him to do. And so he says, we are children of God, right? And you're a child of God right now, but we don't know what we shall be. We're going to continue to develop as children of God, and we're going to become more like him. And he says, if you have this hope in it yourself, you're going to purify yourself even as he is pure. Pure means you're going to separate yourself from the things of the world. See, if you're a child of God, you can't live in things of the world. You can't live like a child of the devil or a child of the world and be a child of God at the same time. See, if you really believe you're a child of God, and if you're growing as a child of God, you're going to be less and less like the world, and you're going to be more and more like Jesus Christ. You'll be more and more like a child of God. I've been walking with God for 50 years now. I think more and more like God. I act more and more like God, not because I'm a pastor, but because I've had a growing relationship with God. I'm maturing more and more in Jesus Christ. And if you have this hope, you purify. You don't continue walking in things of the world anymore, because you're a child of God. We continue that again in Romans chapter 8, verse 12 through 17. Romans 8, 12 through 17. Paul continues to talk about this. He says, Therefore, brethren, That means he's talking, brethren, that means as Christians, we who are believers, we are children of God. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to live according to flesh, because if we live according to flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. So he says, brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, you children of God, we are not a debtor to the flesh. We don't have to live according to the flesh anymore because we're a child of God. A flesh desires things of the world. You know, we have died to the flesh. He said, we don't live according to the flesh anymore because if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So, you know, what the Spirit of God does to help purify us, he convicts us. The Holy Spirit talks to us sometimes and he says, hey, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't say that. Why? Because you're a child of God. So the Holy Spirit is constantly reminding us of how we act as a child of God. We act like Jesus acted. And so, you know, and we learn to act as a child of God by learning about God from his word. So there are times, you know, that I'm tempted to do something and the Holy Spirit just says, oh, don't do that, Andy. Don't say that, Andy. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is reminding me that I am a child of God. And if you, as a child of God, if you continue to live according to your fleshly desires or the things of the world, you will die. You will die as a child of God. You will not be a child of God anymore because you're living according to the things of this world. And if you live according to the things of the world, you will slowly die. See, people accept Christ as your Savior, but they continue to walk according to the world. And if you continue to walk in the world, you will slowly die spiritually. You know, a tree receives its life from the ground. If you cut the tree off from the ground, the tree begins to die. Maybe the leaves look green for a while, but slowly over time, the tree dies. Why? Because it's cut off from the source of life, and that is the earth. For us, we are children of God. We receive our life from God. We don't receive life from the world. We receive our life from God. And if we walk according to the world and walk in sin, we get cut off from God. God doesn't want to cut off. God wants to have life and life more abundant. Jesus said, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Why? Because you're his child. He wants you to walk in victory. He wants you to walk in health. He wants you to walk in prosperity. He wants to bless you. But he can't bless you if you walk in sin and disobedience and the things of the world. And so if we walk according to the world, we will die. But he says, by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the flesh. So the Spirit of God helps us to overcome temptation. So when I'm tempted to sin, the Spirit of God talks to me. He says, no, you don't do that. And so I say, Holy Spirit, help me not to do that. Help me not to say that. Maybe I start to become angry about something. And the Holy Spirit reminds me, ah, you're a child of God. You don't become angry about things. And so I say, Holy Spirit, helps me. And my anger comes down and I have peace again. Maybe I become frustrated or become anxious or worried. As a child of God, you shouldn't worry because God, your Father, is watching over you. You should become discouraged because God, your Father, is taking care of you. He's a great God. He's a good Father. So I say, ah, no, discouragement. I'm a child of God. I don't have any place for this because I'm a child of God. You know, maybe I'm tempted to say something that's not totally true. No, I'm a child of God. See, the Holy Spirit reminds me. I know that I don't do these things. I know I don't compromise because the Holy Spirit reminds me of it, and the Holy Spirit helps me overcome those temptations. Jesus overcame the temptations in the wilderness by the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's how we overcome temptation as children of God. So he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. So if you're a child of God, you're not going to be led by the world or the things of the world or the people of the world. You're going to be led by the Spirit of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. The Spirit is leading you. The Spirit is telling you where to go, how to live life. And then it continues on, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by why you cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs, heirs of God, and heirs with Christ Jesus. And so he says there, you know, the Holy Spirit in us causes us to cry, Abba, Father. See, the Holy Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. Every day I get up, the Holy Spirit reminds me, I am a child of God. Pastor Clark, I'm a child. Andy Clark, I'm a child of God. I wake up in the morning. I lift up my hands. I remind myself when I give them, I am a child of God. How do I know that? Because the Spirit of God lives in me, and the Spirit of God cries out in me for God the Father. I have a desire for God. I have a desire for the things of God. I have a desire for the Word of God. I have a desire to live a godly life because God is my Father, and the Spirit bears with my spirit and cries out, Abba, Father, God, my Father. And so my heart longs for God. My heart desires God. My heart desires everything God has. And he says, the Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. See, if I'm a child of God, I come into everything that God the Father has for me. See, the world has nothing for me because I am a child of Almighty God. My inheritance does not come from the world. My inheritance comes from God Almighty. I have an inheritance, a joint inheritance with Christ. In other words, everything that Jesus got, I get too, because I'm a joint heir with Christ, because I'm a brother to Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, I tell you, people who compromise themselves don't understand what it means to be a child of God. People who live according to the world don't understand what it means to be a child of God. Being a child of God is the most important thing in my life, and it's the most important thing that needs to be in your life. God is calling up today people who know that they are born again, children of God, walk as children of God, talk as children of God, act as children of God, are led by the Spirit of God. That is the kind of people God is raising up today. In Romans 8, 1 and 2, it says, now there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So, you know, we don't walk according to the flesh anymore. We walk according to the Spirit of God. Then Romans 8, 11, but if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. So the same Spirit that lives in Jesus, the same Spirit that lives in me, the same Spirit that lives in you if you're born again, is going to quicken your mortal God, going to bring energy and strength to your mortal bodies. 1 John 4, 4 and 5 is the last verse I'm going to look at. 1 John 4, 4 and 5. You are of God, little children, have overcome them because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You are of God, little children. You are of God, little children. You are of God, little children, and have overcome because the one in you is greater than the one who's in the world. Lord God, I thank you today that because of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sin, rose again so I can have victory, Lord God. I am born again. Lord, I pray for every person listen to Voice of Hope today. If they have not accepted you as their Savior, I pray today they will accept you as your Savior. They will be born again, become a child of God, begin to talk to you, begin to live according to you, will submit their life to you, will resist by the Spirit the temptation to live in sin. Lord God, thank you that you're raising up men and women throughout the world today who walk in the authority and power of children of God, who overcome the enemy as children of God, who come into the inheritance that God has for them. Lord, I pray your blessing upon every person. Listen to Voice of Hope today. Encourage them by your Holy Spirit. Help them to recognize, help their spirit to cry, Abba, Father. Lord God, I love you so much. You are the center of my life. You are the center of everything I have. Lord, may you be the center of every person's life. Listen to the Voice of Hope today. May they desire nothing else but you, Lord God. May they desire nobody else but you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we love you today. We thank you and rejoice in you and bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd encourage and invite your friends to listen to the Voice of Hope every Sunday afternoon at 7:30. Receive an encouraging teaching from the Word of God. Receive an encouraging word from the Lord. I want to encourage all of you on the internet to go to my website, voiceofhopetoday.org. voiceofhopetoday.org, and listen to all my messages on my website. God bless you. Have a great week walking with Jesus as a child of Almighty God. God bless you. Have a great week. Bye-bye.